Jane Goodall is a world-renowned ethologist, conservationist, and activist who for decades has been inspiring greater understanding and action on behalf of the natural world. Her field studies of chimpanzees change the way we think not just about that species, but about animal personality in general. She's the founder of the Jane Goodall Institute and a UN messenger of peace. Her latest book, published in 2021, is called The Book of Hope, A Survival Guide for Trying Times. I talked to Jane Goodall last Friday ahead of her Sunday night talk at UW-Madison's Memorial Union titled Inspiring Hope Through Action. What led you from your famous work researching chimpanzees to becoming an advocate for the well-being of animals?
Well, it was because I realized in 1986 that right across Africa in chimp range, forests were going, chimpanzee numbers were decreasing. And I thought I better try and find out exactly what I could do to help, and also to help the chimps in medical research labs. And in finding out the problems facing chimps in Africa, I realized that they could not be solved unless we involved the local people who were living in poverty around them. So what started as studying chimpanzees has ended up in basically, well, trying to save the planet.
Yeah, we could say, okay, chimpanzees, they're our close cousins, they're smart, we should take care of them. But you've expanded your scope to other wild animals, domesticated animals, animals in zoos. Can you make the case for our human responsibility to our animal cousins?
Well, for so long, we've been horribly arrogant. And we've assumed that back in the 1960s, it was assumed by science that we were the only beings on the planet that were sentient, the only beings with personalities, minds, and emotions. And thanks to the chimps who are so close to us, and the film that my first husband was able to get of their behavior, science had to change its mind. And now we know that not only apes and elephants and whales are highly intelligent, but so too are pigs and rats, and so too are birds, and so too are octopuses. So, you know, the animals are very different from what people used to think. And I knew all that as a child because of my close relationship with my dog and other animals that I had as my friends.
Did I understand this correctly? You received not a teddy bear as a child, but a stuffed chimpanzee toy?
He was a chimpanzee called Jubilee, named after the first chimp infant born in England, which was the King and Queen's Jubilee year. And it wasn't this, as many people think, oh, that's why you study chimps. Absolutely not. That was a chimpanzee. Nobody knew anything about them. Nobody had studied them in the wild. And it was an exotic dream, which I couldn't possibly have had. I wanted to go to Africa to live with wild animals and write books about them, any animals, to be out in the wild.
At the time, this was something that a woman didn't do and was not expected to do and maybe not welcomed to do. Can you talk about how that has changed over the decades, in part because of the example you set?
Well, you know, when I was 10 years old and had this dream of going to Africa, everybody laughed at me. How will you do that? Africa's far away. It's full of dangerous animals. And you don't have money, which is true. And you're just a girl, but not my mother. She said, if you really want to do something like this, you're going to have to work really hard, take advantage of every opportunity. And if you don't give up, hopefully you find a way. And of course, I did find a way. I had to save up money. First, I became a secretary because I had to have a job. Then I got invited to Kenya by a school friend whose parents had bought a farm to save up to get the fair. I had to work as a waitress because you couldn't save money in London. And actually, there was no competition in entering this field because I was a woman, because there was basically nobody studying animals out in the field at that time, two or three, and that was it. So I wasn't competing with males. And I think actually being a woman helped, certainly with the National Geographic. You know, there was this image of Beauty and the Beast sort of thing, which appealed to people and made the whole thing popular so we could get money so I could carry on.
turning to the present day, it's easy to look at things like climate change or local threats to wildlife and more and be overwhelmed or depressed or complacent. You are making the case for hope in your talk in Wisconsin, in your book. Why is hope such an important thing, you think, to focus on?
I think it depends on how you define hope. If you define it as wishful thinking, then it's not going to help at all. But to me, hope is about action. And if you lose hope, why bother to act? Because if you think that what you do isn't going to make any difference, it seems a waste of time to do it. So people come to me and say, oh, the problems of the world are so huge and I'm just one person and I'm just feeling helpless and hopeless. And I say, well, don't listen when they say, think globally, act locally. Because if you think globally, you're bound to be depressed. It's a very dark time that we're living in. So think and act locally. Do something to make a difference, whatever you're passionate about, clearing litter, planting trees, whatever. And then you'll see you do make a difference. You get your friends to join in, and that makes you feel good. And when you feel good, you want to feel better, so you do more, and it spirals. More people become inspired. And then you think that around the world, other people are doing the same. And you suddenly realize that together, if we act, we can make change. But if we lose hope, we become apathetic and do nothing. We're doomed.
Where do you see sources of hope?
Well, first of all, in the young people, we have the Jane Goodall Institute has a program which we call Roots and Shoots, which began with 12 high school students, is now in 68 countries and growing, members, kindergarten, university, everything in between, all choosing for themselves three projects, one to help people, one to help animals, one to help the environment. And they get together, discuss the problems, work out what they can do about them, roll up their sleeves, and take action. And so once young people know the problem and are empowered to take action and encouraged to take action, they are so passionate and committed. Then secondly, there's our amazing intellect. And although we haven't used it wisely, and sometimes we've used it terribly, like weapons of mass destruction, we're now beginning, science is beginning to come up with innovations like clean energy, things like that, so that we can live in greater harmony. And individuals are thinking about their own environmental footprints, trying to buy sensibly, ethically. And then there's the resilience of nature. Places utterly destroyed, nature will come back, given a chance, maybe a helping hand. Animals on the brink of extinction can be given another chance and have been and are being. And finally, the indomitable spirit, which makes people tackle things that seem impossible and very often succeed.
As we wrap up, I'd like to go back to the beginning and in what is now Tanzania, where you were studying chimpanzees. What are you seeing now when it comes to efforts to protect those chimpanzees and their habitat?
Well, unfortunately, you know, forests are still being destroyed. On the other hand, the Jane Goodall Institute works in 7 African countries where there are chimps. And because we're working with the local people, it's community-led conservation, listening to indigenous voices, working with them, listening to them. And therefore, there are forests and chimps now that wouldn't have been there if we hadn't been there. And we're certainly not the only group who's working to save wildlife. So that, again, is hopeful. Awareness has risen, and the projects to make the world better have increased hugely.
Dr. Goodall, thanks so much for visiting us here in Wisconsin.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was ethologist, chimpanzee expert, and conservationist Jane Goodall. I talked to her ahead of her talk on UW-Madison's campus over the weekend.